Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the cherubim leave Israel as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 15. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Then he said unto me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again. You're going to see even greater abominations than these." And he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And so here they were, backs towards the temple, signifying turning their backs upon God and worshiping now the sun god, worshiping towards the east. I go over to Jerusalem, and as we go up to the Temple Mount, and as I see there that large Dome of the Rock mosque that occupies the center of the Temple of the Mount, and you hear this crazy wailing coming over the loudspeakers, this museum, and you see all of these people get out their little rugs and kneel and bow and face the east in prayer there on the Temple Mount today. It always brings to my mind that picture that Ezekiel got when he was taken there by the Lord in this vision and saw these men turning from God and worshiping towards the east. Then he said unto me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they have committed here? For they have filled the land with violence. They have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch in their nose." Now, this was a symbol that was and a sign that was used in some of these pagan rites that are so horribly, unspeakably vile that we could not even in a mixed congregation describe to you the rites by which they worshiped their gods. But God declared, "Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye will not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have the charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." So he heard him now crying. He's not ordering Ezekiel. Ezekiel is hearing God cry to these others. "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hands." He is calling now these angels of God who are to bring the judgment against the people. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north. And every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen. Even Jesus Christ, really, one of the theophanies. We find him in many parallel passages to this. He had a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brass altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. Now, the Spirit of God and the glory of God is now departing from Israel. No longer in the Holy of Holies, has now moved to the threshold of the house of God. Soon we'll find it moving to the east gate and then to the mountain, the Mount of Olives, towards the east, and then departing completely. And so God's glory, the cherubim, leaving now, dwelt there in the Holy of Holies of the temple. But now God's glory, the presence of God, is leaving. And the Lord said unto him, "Go through the midst of the city," talking to the one which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all of the abominations that be done in the middle thereof or in the midst thereof. So this one with the inkhorn was to go through and mark all of those who were grieving over the abominations that existed. Those whose hearts were grieved by the things that were going on. I'll tell you, when I read the newspapers and I read what's going on in our country, I grieve. God says, go mark those that have been grieving. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, and let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly the old, the young, both maids, little children, the women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. You remember that Peter said, the time has come when judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. It's a reference to Ezekiel where God said, begin at my sanctuary. But Peter said, if judgment begins at the house of the Lord, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Now also, these that are marked in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we have an interesting parallel. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, where there are four angels that are holding the four winds ready to bring destruction upon the earth, and there is an angel that says, don't release those winds until the servants of God have been marked in their forehead. And I counted the number that were marked, and there were 144,000, that they should not be hurt by the plagues that were yet to come to pass. So God's preservation again of a remnant. God had his faithful remnant in Jerusalem. Mark them. And when the judgment comes, when you're to slay, don't touch those with a mark. And so again, God preserving his remnant in the book of Revelation chapter 7. Parallel passages. He said unto them, defile the house by filling the courts with the slain. Now, if you touched a dead carcass, you were to be defiled for a day. You weren't to be allowed to come into the temple to worship if you had touched a dead body. But he said, defile the temple, just kill the people in the courts of it. Let it all be defiled. And they went forth and they slew in the city, and it came to pass while they were slaying them that I was left. And I fell upon my face and I cried and I said, ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the residue of Israel in the pouring out of your fury upon Jerusalem? And he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and of Judah is exceeding great. The land is full of blood. The city is full of perverseness. For they say the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man that was clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. And then I looked, and behold, in the firmament, the heaven, that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, the sapphire stone as the appearance of the likeness of the throne. Again, the vision of the throne of God, similar to that which he had by the river Kibar in chapter 1. And as he spake unto the man that was clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill your hand with the coals of fire from between the cherubims and scatter them over the city, and he went in my sight. Now the cherubims stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. You say, oh, how beautiful. No, it's tragic, because the glory of God is leaving. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels, and one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and they took from it and put into it the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubim's form of a man's hand under his wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone or green. And as for their appearances, they had one likeness as if a wheel had been in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon four sides. They did not turn as they went, but the place whither the head looked, they followed it and turned not as they went. So they are the four cherubs who are, their wings are each touching each other, and they are faced inwardly, so their movements are in straight type of movements, not turning their heads as they move, but each head just turning, falling in straight type of movements. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that the four of them had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel! And every one had four faces. And the first face was the face of a cherub. Now, in chapter 1, he said the face was like an ox. Here he's getting a look at it from a different perspective. He is standing down and looking up as it is now ascended upward. And in looking up at it from this angle, it looks more like a cherub, whatever a cherub looks like. And the second face was the face of a man. The third face was like a lion. And the fourth was the face of the eagle. So the four faces, again, one in each direction. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Kebar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. And when they stood, these stood. When they were lifted up, these were lifted up also. For the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And so now it is moved to the door of the east gate. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kebar, and I knew that they were cherubims. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings, and the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river Kebar, their appearances and themselves, and they went every one straight forward. Now, you have the difficulty of trying to describe in human language as an indescribable kind of a thing like you've never seen before. As you observe these cherubim, these angelic beings, cherubim is plural for cherub. The I am is the plural in Hebrew. So a cherub would be singular. A cherubim is plural. Because there are four cherubim involved in this vision that Ezekiel saw. He uses the term cherubim because it is plural. There are these colors, there are these eyes, there are these faces, there are all of these aspects that he describes in human language as best he can. To us, it comes out as some kind of a monstrosity as far as the appearance is concerned, because we have never seen anything with four faces that in any wise would resemble what he's talking about here. The lights that are flashing, the colors, the when they move, the lightning look at their movements. And so Ezekiel is bound to language that he has, trying to describe these heavenly beings. Now, there is always that difficulty in trying in human language to describe that which is divine or heavenly. Jesus said to Nicodemus, hey, if I've told you earthly things and you didn't believe them, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, if we have difficulty describing earthly things, how in the world can you describe heavenly things? How would you describe to a Aborigine in Australia a computer and how it operates? You'd have trouble, wouldn't you? Because he has such a limited vocabulary. No understanding of modern technical instruments. How that you can punch out on this keyboard, but he doesn't understand what a keyboard is. Paul the Apostle was caught up into heaven. But he was pretty smart. He said, there is no language that can describe what I heard. So he just left it there. He said, it would be a crime for me to try to describe it in human language. Just no way to do it. So he didn't even try. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to him about that. I think he should have at least tried. But he said it would be a crime to try and do it. Because nothing that you could, there are no words that can describe that which Paul heard. So far beyond that any attempt would be less than what it was. It would be a crime. It would be so much less than what it actually was. That there's just no way you can do it. So I'm certain that with everything else we get in heaven, it'll be a new vocabulary in order that we might again, describe to each other those things that are of the heavens, those things that are heavenly. So Ezekiel is taking human language and trying to describe spiritual creatures, spiritual events, doing the best that he can, but limited by his age and the technology and all that they had at that time, in his use of words in describing these things. Now, when you see the cherubim, it would be interesting if in this modern, more technical age, we would see them, if our descriptions would vary much from Ezekiel's. Now, I really don't know. He talks about their having the wings and touching each other. We think of Ezekiel and wings, you think of bird-type wings. Maybe they're not. Maybe we'd say, well, they had wings like an F-04. And the noise sounds like a jet, you know, taking off. And it could be that in using terms today, we would use different terminology to describe these angelic heavenly creatures that are there about the throne of God, that are described here in Ezekiel 1 and 10, but for parallel passages, read Revelation chapter 4, as John also describes these same creatures in the heavenly scene. And familiarize yourself with them, because when John gets to heaven, the first thing that attracts his attention is the throne of God and these cherubim around the throne of God and their activity there. So you might as well familiarize yourself with them, because that's probably the first thing that you'll be seeing when you get to heaven. And if you aren't a little familiar with it, you're going to be going around with your mouth wide open, looking like someone who didn't do their homework. So, interesting what we have to look forward to as we one day will leave this three-dimensional plane or three-dimensional living and enter into that spiritual dimension where we too will see the real world, not this temporal world of fantasy that is about us, but the eternal world, God's kingdom. As Christians, be alert, keep your eyes on the Lord, keep looking up, because our redemption is so very, very close.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 8 through 10 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
God be with you and bless and keep you through the week. May the Lord strengthen you as the evil days are waxing worse and worse, as perilous times have come because of the pleasure madness of man. But may the Lord establish your life in Christ. And may your faith increase and your love and devotion to the things of God, to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Pastor Greg Laurie.
Rarely does a man come along that literally changes a generation, but such a man came, and that man is here tonight, and his name is Chuck Smith. Yeah?
Join Pastor Greg in an exclusive interview with Pastor Chuck. Listen to rarely heard stories and memories in Chuck's own words about the events that influenced him and how he, in turn, influenced so many.
We have only one life and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
To order a copy of the special DVD with Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673. Again, the number to call is 800-272-WORD.